Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Actually, you should do an intro for this one.
Why?
No, that's fine.
Well, because
we're good.
I've done the intro for the last, three with the archives. And so people will think this is another archive and they'll be salty about
it. Who's keeping tabs?
You should just give us a nice intro. A warm, generous sipstro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Triforce. Well, it's not even Triforce this week, though, is it?
Oh, yes, because P-Flex isn't even here yet.
No.
So he's gone. He went to a poker tournament yesterday. Do you know how he did?
I have no idea.
Maybe he'll tell us later in the podcast.
That's right.
If he turns up.
This is it's like another Triforce on the road, but we're not actually on the road at all. And the only thing difference, the only big difference this week is that P-Flex is at Heathrow Airport and might be back in time to join us, but maybe not.
51 minutes ago, he tweeted, currently stuck in a corridor at Heathrow Airport with the rest of the passengers, waiting for someone to fix a control point so we can leave. What's a control point?
I think, when you're going through the airport and you have those desks and the barricades to let people through, sort of thing. And they're just sort of randomly placed too. They don't seem strategic in any way. But I guess they got to the point where they were like, hang on, we've got a man sitting in a chair at this control point, why not have a robot do his job instead, like most things these days? So they put in these automated ones, and that probably broke down, preventing everybody in the airport from getting through that one hallway. But again, I don't know what the point of that control point is, because literally 5 steps after that will be customs, which is a huge control point. You know what I mean?
Airports, to me, they seem like just weird holding bays. You could make a game, okay, called Airport
Tycoon
Real Sim, where people come in from a landing and you just sort of gate them like sheep into a little pen.
Yeah.
And then you slowly filter them through these various, maybe they're just very, very, very overly busy some sort of area.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Malta part of the European Union? Does he need to go through a special international area or something?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think it's fine. Malta's.
I think it's fine.
I think Malta's a pretty credible country, island.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time in airports.
I thought you were going to say I've spent a lot of time in Malta.
I've never been to Malta. My mum went to Malta. She said it was nice.
Okay.
She liked it.
Yeah.
It's quite small, I think, but it's also quite
cool.
It's
a small little island, isn't it, Malta?
Yeah. I get the impression it's sort of a fortress island or something. Isn't that what it's famous for?
Yeah.
And it's got a good relationship with us, I seem to remember. I think they quite like the Brits. Anyway, P-Flax will tell us all about it later in the podcast.
I'm sure while he was there, he really soaked in the historical facts about Malta and everything. I mean, he did go there to play poker, so
I'm assuming he at very least Googled it.
The likelihood is that he got off a plane, put on his poker face, probably won some money, and then flew home. So
well,
maybe he won't tell us about it.
All right.
You never know. If he turns up, right?
All right?
If he turns up. We have this responsibility now to hold down the show. Remember a couple of episodes ago we talked about how we're never going to change the cast on the show, and already we're screwing it up. We're one man down.
Well, we haven't done one for so long now because we're not going to do one next week either because you're not here next week.
Yeah.
So I figured I'm just... Because tomorrow I'm off to MCM to do the... we just don't have time. We're so busy. And
Holy crap, already? Jeez, that's nuts.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, I'm going to MCM with P-Flax, actually. He's coming.
Oh.
And I think he's bringing his daughter as well, who I think is 7.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a little bit young for the whole MCM. I don't think that it's a typically... It's not like Disneyland.
No.
It's kind of like Nerd Central, where comic book nerds dress up as Iron Man and like high five each other. It's cool. I like it, but it's not 7 year old stuff. Really.
Is it always on the same weekend every year? Like, did we go to it this time last year?
Yes, I think it is a similar sort of time.
So this time last year, thereabouts, I got to meet Kat and Alfie from EastEnders.
Oh, yeah,
which was like
did.
The highlight of Comic-Con for me last year. That was really good.
That was the highlight of your year.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much.
So I'm a very simple man. And that sent my life into a topspin.
The queue to meet them as well was non-existent as well. I don't think you even paid anything.
Yeah, no, the queue was non-existent because you did have to pay to meet them. It was like £20.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it was worth it though. It was worth every penny.
It was actually, yeah.
I'm sure.
I mean, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I got my picture taken with them. They were very nice. They were very hospitable for like the 5 seconds that I spent with them. They sort of gratefully took my £20 from me. Well, actually, no, neither of them touched the money. They had like another person who did the money. So yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you should do that when you're at Comic-Con. When people want to come talk to you, just charge them money. See how it goes. You know, it might be fun.
A guy wanted to talk to me this morning. Actually, I was walking in, and sometimes when I walk in, people clock me, right? And I don't know if they're just either weird, like homeless people, or like just I've got something on my face, or I don't know. Like sometimes I think someone is like asking me as a fan, and then they ask me for directions or something. I think it's about 50-50 when people stop me in the street, okay? It's actually a coin flip on whether or not they're a fan. So this guy clocked me today, and I squinted at him. I gave him, like, the little squint. I sort of gave him a little half smile, and then he just pointed at me. He was like, "I know you, don't I?" And I was like, "Oh, maybe. How do you know me?" And then, you know, it was like, it started this awkward sort of conversation where he sort of slowly was trying to figure out how he knew me. Like, was I an old school friend? Like, there's that weird sort of thing that happens in your mind. And then it clicked, and he was like, "Oh my God, I used to watch all of your Minecraft videos." And I was like, "Oh, thanks. That means a lot."
But now that I'm like 30, I don't watch them so much. And, and do you still do them?
And then he was like, so he wanted a picture. And I was like, "Sure." And he was like, "Oh, let me make sure my hair looks good." And I just stood there, like, looking like a fucking wreck, you know, because I just, like, had to rush out of the house to get into the office. Yeah. And I knew I wasn't going to be on camera today or anything. So I was like, "Oh, I'm not going to bother, like, just doing anything."
So you're just sporting, like, the fro. You've got, like, your mustard-stained wife beater on.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Yeah.
Ripped jean shorts.
And so he takes this lovely picture of himself. And I'm like, he's, like, 6 foot three as well, like, gorgeous looking guy.
Nice.
And I'm like, just like,
"Are you sure it wasn't me? I mean, I'm pretty gorge myself, and I'm 6'3". So
I did look a bit like
Do I know you from somewhere?
That happens. I don't know how I got off topic onto that.
Yeah. It's nice. So immediately you developed an attraction to him while you're talking to him. And
now we're going out. That's right.
That's the story about how I met my new husband.
So 2 weeks in America I had in LA.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I've got some good sort of stuff to talk about from there, but I think I'll save some of them until P-Flex gets back.
Yeah, well, because you saw some Civ stuff, right? And he's going to be like,
yeah,
he's going to be frothing at the mouth because he'll want to see if like his ideas made it into the game. Did any of them make it into the game?
Honestly, when he told me his ideas, I instantly tuned out and didn't listen to what any of them were.
No.
So I'm going to have to subtly ask him to remind me about what his ideas were, and then I can find out.
It was something about food. He was talking about food a lot.
The problem is with the Civ is that I don't know whether you noticed this. They gave like 2.5 minutes of B-roll footage of gameplay.
No, I mean, I haven't actually seen. I was reading a thread about it, and I noticed a couple of people saying that it looked
well,
very...
Well, I was going to put out a video on it.
All right.
But I didn't have time.
Oh.
Because I'm so broken because of my fucking jet lag.
Yeah.
That,
you've just been spending all your time talking to hunky 6'3" men outside of your office.
2 weeks in America really made me very used to, I'm very acclimatized to it. Anyway, there's two and a half minutes of Civ footage, right?
Yeah.
And these guys, everyone's been covering it. By just copy pasting that 2:30 over and over again. So it's like I saw a guy did like an hour long video talking about how his experience is playing the 60 turns of Civ 6.
What was the event like? I mean, because I went to an event for Overwatch, okay? It was like last year or maybe even longer ago. We went out to Blizzard. Me and Duncan went out to Blizzard. They sat us in their like little cinema thing and showed us footage of McCree at the time. McCree was like the new hero that they were working on. It was like Chris Metzen and Jeff Kaplan talking to just like a room full of people. And it was pretty good. You know, like Jeff Kaplan and Chris Metzen are like obviously like pretty passionate about Overwatch and stuff. And it was pretty good. But like for Civ, I mean, I just imagine guys with like fucking pocket protectors and like tape holding their glasses together. Like, yeah, well, you see, the thing is, we had to put in an attrition mechanic because people, you know, and like I can just imagine a whole room of people just falling asleep and stuff, because Civ's like a cool game. It's fun to play and stuff, but I think the people that must develop it must be like super duper nerds.
Well, you want them to be too, right?
I guess so, yeah.
You're cool, like hipster guys developing Civ because they'll fuck it up.
Well,
you want basically, I met this guy called Ed Beach, okay?
Right.
Who is, he's a pretty nerdy guy, but he's actually a pretty nerdy guy in the sense that he's actually devised a couple of board games.
Right.
One of them was called Here I Stand, which is quite a big one on Board Game Geek. And I think Ben and Tom have played it. I don't think I played it, but when I mentioned it to Ben, he definitely knew it. So this guy has added a lot of elements to Civ, which I think are pretty good. And the other guy I met was Pete Murray, who is the guy who was in charge, I think, of XCOM and bringing that up, you know, making XCOM and XCOM 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a fucking genius. He really is a really good, really, I really, really have a lot of respect for him because he's done so well.
Is that the same guy who used to play all the XCOM games and was like a big fan of XCOM and everything?
But, yeah.
And then sort of
he looks really young as well.
Revitalized the series. Yeah, yeah. I remember reading something about him.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really cool guy, actually. I really like him a lot. And he basically just has a really good eye for like seeing what in a game needs to be taken out and changed and fixed.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't have that same eye. And he really did. I think the good example is taking UFO, the original XCOM, to the new XCOM, and then XCOM to XCOM 2. He really did well picking out what should stay and what should go. Because XCOM 2 was fantastic, by the way, wasn't it? It is a fantastic game.
Man, you know
game.
What's fucked up, though? This year has been really good for games. Like, I mean, XCOM 2 I thought was going to be like my game of the year this year, even like it came out early in the year sort of thing. And I thought, what's going to top XCOM 2 late? It's been fantastic. But like I played Stellaris, that's been really fucking good. Like I really enjoy it. I think it's really well done. Overwatch is out now. I've been playing that. I wasn't like looking forward to it or hyped for it or anything, but I have been playing it. It's pretty good. Like it's a bit better now, like that it's not in beta or whatever. There's a lot of good games out right now. Like surprisingly, I didn't think like that many would come out, but there's quite a bit out now.
Hmm. Well, I mean, Overwatch, I mean, have you played Doom?
Yeah, I played it with Simon while you were away.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah, I mean,
he's fucking crouching around like he was playing Fallout. Like he was like sniping the aliens with his pistol and stuff. He was too scared to, man mode it. You know what's kind of disappointing about Doom? I used to play Doom 1 and Doom 2 back in the day with my friend on like Direct Connect modem. You know, like, remember that? Like, when they were DOS games?
Oh, what, you had, like, you're talking about, like, the co-op campaign?
Yeah, yeah, we used to play it, and it was really fun. You could play it on different difficulties and stuff, and it was awesome. Like, it was a really fun way of playing the game. And that they don't have it in the new one. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does kind of suck, but I think that it's rightly so. I think that it's a modern shooter. It's got a good little... I do you know what? I really liked it. I don't think I liked it as much as Wolfenstein, but I liked it very nearly as much as Wolfenstein.
Nice.
It's pretty short, like 8 to 9 hours I finished the campaign in, and it's not like I was rushing too much. I did spend quite a lot of time looking for the secrets and stuff on each level, because there's a lot of secrets.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're quite fun. Actually, they're not all that fun to find. Some of them are really fiddly to find, a bit of a ball ache. But I did actually really, really like the game. I really, really like the story. I think there's a lot of potential for it as well, where it's going. I just thought it was a really good game.
So what? You finished the campaign. Is there plans for DLC, like more single-player stuff? Or are they really focusing on the multiplayer?
Yeah, well, the campaign's pretty epic, right? And in fact, it leaves a lot more scope for further stuff than Wolfenstein did.
Okay.
I think that I think that it definitely leaves the door open for a big DLC, like the Wolfenstein DLC, which was okay. The Wolfenstein DLC was good length, and it had a good feel to it, but it wasn't as good as the
original. I still haven't played
it.
That's like one of your top recommendations. I still haven't played
it. I mean, if you want to sit down and play, I consider these to be the spiritual successors to Half-Life in a way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, Half-Life is all about...
Man, I really liked Half-Life 2.
It's just a really good single-player, first-person shooter experience with a bit of fantasy, a bit of sci-fi. You know, and Doom really feels like a kind of... I don't know, a spiritual successor in a way. It feels like it's in the same sort of vein.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a real shot in the arm. It's a real nice... I had a real good experience playing Doom. It was almost like I'd rented a 9-hour movie or something. You know, that's what it felt like to me rather than buying a £40 game.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
It's quite an expensive game. So, I mean, I think it'll be just as good at Christmas if you pick it up for, you know, 10 or 12 quid on the Steam sale or whatever over Christmas. You know, and I mean, I recommend you do that. Yeah, rather than probably pay 40 quid. If you don't know, like listeners out there who might not. But yeah, I mean, man, I just had a blast playing Doom. It was quite satanic, really, really fast, good story, good pace, good weapons.
Looks nice, doesn't it? It's like a really nice looking
felt
game.
Felt so nice to play. It was so, so satisfying. There were moments in that game. Okay, so basically, the story is I came off the plane ride from hell, right?
Yeah.
Because I went to America, came back.
Did a portal to hell open up in the plane?
Honestly, it might as well have done. It was, imagine the most horrific experience you could possibly imagine. I'm not a good plane
traveler.
Hang
on, I'm thinking of the most horrific experience I've ever had. All right, hit me.
So I'm fucking, right, so here's the problem, okay?
So there I am. I'm on the plane, I'm fucking.
We get up on the last day to go away, to go home, right? And so you pack up your bags and you check out the hotel. Yeah. And there's loads of faff with credit cards. Oh, you know, you can't pay for stuff. Oh, you know, being declined, all this shit.
Yeah.
Go through a little hassle trying to get your stuff paid for.
There seem to be 35 adult movies on your bill. How would you like to pay for these? And you're like, oh, shit, what am I going to pay for?
I don't know, they haven't got breakfast or something on the last day, and then you put your luggage, you have to put your luggage with the concierge and hold on to the ticket, and then you have to basically kill that last day kind of thing, because you can't really plan a thing, because everyone's like, oh, I don't want to miss the plane, I don't want to miss the plane, I don't want to miss the plane. Super stressed about
that,
right?
Yeah, but then,
so
like, your plane...
You turn up to the airport...
To go international.
I know, Sips.
Your plane leaves awkwardly
at,
like, 1 PM and stuff like that, too.
But everyone's saying, oh, you know, but, oh, it's... No, so the plane leaves at, like... The plane left at 6 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
So we left for the airport at, like, 1 o'clock, even though...
Yeah, yeah.
We were, you know, we knew we were going to be at the airport, like, bored out of our fucking wits for ages. So we couldn't really do anything. It was just a horrible day. I was still feeling, like, pretty queasy and stuff from other things that we'd done. And so I wasn't feeling good. I had a real bad headache. I wasn't hungover or anything. And the day, it was a very nice day. You know, it was like a muggy LA kind of cloudy day.
Yeah.
Anyway, got to the airport, expecting long old lines and stuff. But then, you know, we couldn't... So LA is fine. We only had to queue for like half an hour or whatever once we found the place and blah, 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 went through. And then we had to like sit in the airport for like 4 hours. Now, it's a noisy airport. We didn't get to sit in the premium economy lounge or anything, so we were just in basic economy.
Oh, I don't think premium economy have a lounge, by the way.
It's just me and Tom Bates. And me and Tom Bates, by that point, have spent 2 weeks together with each other. And we don't, you know, at that point, it's like whenever me and you spend a long time together.
We don't even like each other to begin with.
We can't even So we didn't really want to talk to each other. Anyway, it got us through to like 6. We got on the plane and we were like crammed in premium economy. And there were 2 crying children to the right of me and another crying children to the left of me. And it was like a cat had been was in a bag and it was being beaten on a 5-minute basis. Because this baby and these kids were so unhappy and so screamy.
Yeah.
And their parents were so embarrassed about it. And it was utterly awful. It was imagine hell.
Yeah.
So the flight is like 9 hours. It just drags on. The noise is so noisy. You're so cramped in economy.
Uh-huh.
You're like a battery hen being fed these like little weird biscuits and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I'm not really feeling because I've got like a headache anyway and I'm quite queasy anyway. And this baby's just like screaming over and over. And Oh my God. And we're sort of sitting fairly near the toilet, so you sort of get this occasional waft of like...
Oh yeah, like the pucks that they put into the toilet.
Oh, so it was just, it went on and on and on. And I had sort of, I'd run out of stuff to sort of, and what happened, you know, as soon as I sat down in my seat, the guy in the seat in front of me put his chair back
all the
immediately,
way, yeah.
Right? Like he didn't even like wait for the plane to take off before he put his seat back, you know? So it was one of those guys where... That seat was back the whole time because the seats in economy are pretty tight.
Man, tell me about
close
it.
Together. So when his seat's back, if you don't have your seat back as well, that screen is like super close to your face. And the TV was slightly broken. Anyway, it was just everything was wrong with that flight. You know, there was this moment that where it all happened where I was like, I felt like the worst. I put like the blindfold on and I think there had been this lull in the babies for like a tiny moment. And I had literally just like had like maybe like 30 seconds or a minute of like peace, okay, where suddenly I was dozing off to sleep and I thought, oh, this is great. And then the baby right next to me just hit like a massive crescendo of just noise. And it was so, so frustrating. I actually took my blindfold off and I threw it at the baby. I'm not even kidding. I actually did this on the plane.
Okay.
And Bates just turned to me and looked at me and was like, what the fuck are you doing? And obviously the people who, the parents didn't know it was me because a blindfold just came out of nowhere and hit the baby. And so I was just like, I immediately regretted what I'd done. But it was one of these moments where it just boiled over. And I know it wasn't their fault and it's not the baby's fault.
Yeah.
And that baby's probably having just as much problem as
I am. Yeah, you probably traumatized that
but
baby
sometimes,
for life. But sometimes...
You just have to throw a blindfold. I frisbeed it and I didn't intend...
Yeah.
I didn't intend to hit the baby, but I frisbeed it across the plane. And it was like, I mean, honestly, Sips, if I'd like spoken to all the passengers in private and we'd come up with like a pact, we would have agreed to like throw that family out of the plane. And then no one would have said, oh, well, we don't know. We would have agreed to keep it all a secret. And we would have all been fine with that. At that point in the plane, everyone in economy was done. It could have been this one of these like films, you know, about a group of people who band together to murder someone equally, and every one of them does one stab.
Honestly, that's pretty standard for Parenthood, but just actual crazy people go through with it.
Well, that's the thing. Like when the plane landed, and the sort of crying stopped and subsided.
Yeah,
it was almost like everyone in economy had bonded over some shared traumatic experience, and they were like patting each other on the back, like, "Oh, we made it, guys! Holy shit!" And like everyone was like, "Oh, you know that baby? Oh, wow, that baby!" They're like making jokes about it. Like, "Oh, that baby's gonna be the next X Factor winner," you know? "Oh, those lungs," you know, all these like little jokes and stuff. And I was like. I genuinely, because I'm an atheist, okay? You might know this about me. I'm a scientist.
Okay.
I don't believe in heaven and hell,
right. Okay?
I always used to make jokes, like saying, oh, you know, hell, it can't be that bad, you know. I'm looking forward to going there. But if hell is sitting on that aeroplane, right, with that baby for another 9 hours, I'm totally going to believe in God. Honestly, so I played Doom when I got back. And where you're going to hell. And I thought, this place is fucking gorgeous. I love it. This compared to what I've been through, playing Doom is like a fucking walk in the park.
I think what Doom needs to do is add screaming babies to make the experience that much more intense. Because it does bring out something in you, doesn't it? Like the sound of a screaming, crying baby.
Weirdly, when I was playing Doom, I actually thought, this is my idea of heaven. Like going to hell and fucking killing zombies and killing fucking giant monsters and blowing them up with a shotgun. This is actually the opposite of what it should be, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, so I'm kind of just, I need to calm down after that. But
I mean, you say that you don't believe in heaven and hell, but what if you find yourself, you know, what if your idea of how everything is and your idea of reality and stuff turns out to be wrong, okay? Let's say you die tomorrow, for argument's sake, okay? You get hit by a bus and you die.
Yeah.
You know, the split second
before...
I'm on
my deathbed.
Yeah. No, you're not even. You instantly die. You have that split second before the bus hits you where you're like, oh shit, this is it. I'm going to die. What's going to happen next? And then you're dead. Okay.
Thank God I'm wearing clean pants.
Thank God. Even though, there will be an evacuation. Your bowels will definitely evacuate because like your body goes into like some sort of like trauma.
What time have I been hit by this bus? Because my body clock is very regular.
You're like on your way for lunch, right? So it's like 1 o'clock, okay? You're hit by bus
And you're dead.
It's post my mid-morning poop. So I've had my mid-morning poop. So I'm unlikely to poop myself again. Yeah. I'm just
There could be Klingons in there that like you were unaware of. And when they do the autopsy, they're like,
this man was not very thorough when wiping his backside, it turns out. But otherwise, we got massive head trauma here due to the bus hitting him. But boy, does he ever have a filthy asshole. It's got to be said. Put that in the record, Bill. This man did not wipe his ass properly. Okay, so you're dead, okay? And, you know, like, when you're thinking about dying, right, you're like, I wonder what it's going to be like when I die. You're like, is it going to be like when you're sitting there and you're playing an iOS game in a chair and you're tired and you just, you know, you sort of nod off, you fall asleep, but you don't realize you've done it, and then you sort of spring back up and you're like, oh, shit, I must have fallen asleep. I think that that's what it's like to die sort of thing, especially if you're like in a hospital bed and you die of like old age or whatever, or, you know, whatever causes you to die when you're old as hell and you just die.
Yeah.
It's like falling asleep, right? But then what if instantly you like wake up again? You're like, oh, fuck, I'm dead. But like you're trapped in like a really small ventilation shaft and you can't really move. And like you're just like, oh, shit. You know, like you're claustrophobic as hell and you're trapped there. And at that moment, do you think you'd think to yourself, fuck, if only I'd believed in heaven and hell, because clearly now I am in hell for whatever reason. Like, do you ever think about that? You think like, maybe I need to like make amends with God and stuff just in case I wake up after I've died and I'm stuck in a ventilation shaft or whatever is like the worst possible scenario for you, like your own personal fresh hell. Do you ever think of that?
I think that that's extremely... Do you know what? I do think about it, okay, Sips? And I think it's extremely Western and also ignorant way to think about it, okay?
I mean, you say all this, but the fact is you wake up after you've died and you're stuck in a snow avalanche for the rest of eternity, no way out. I mean, that's fucked up, man. I would like to avoid that somehow.
Well, honestly, so. I don't think that's too bad. I'm sure it would get worse. I guess...
It's hell.
Thing,
it doesn't get better. It gets worse.
Well, I guess what I mean is that everyone else, this is a famous quote by someone smarter than me, but everyone else is an atheist towards everyone else's religions anyway, right? So Christians are just a massive atheist. They're atheists towards Thor and, you know, sun god belief and paganism and and Hinduism and Sikhism and all that. So you don't believe in their ideas of heaven and hell. You know, the majority of the people on the earth don't believe in your kind of idea of what it is. So I don't think there's any afterlife. I think that, you know, you get one life and you should live it. It makes the idea of this life more important if you understand that it is the only one, you know, YOLO.
Yeah, but do you think that, like, after what I said before about, you know, worrying about what's going to happen in the afterlife, do you think that that's like a big motivator for people to become religious in the first place in this life?
I don't know. Like, this is a good old topic, which is always going to be argued about. I don't know. Religion, is it the opiate of the masses, Sips? I don't know. It's difficult to know.
I think in my case, I think I could be scared into being religious, though. Like, if somebody had concrete proof that, you know, if I don't like do my prayers and do some Hail Marys or whatever it is you need to do, and I could end up waking up like in some sort of, you know, bunker with somebody I didn't like for the rest of eternity, or, you know, stuck in a ventilation shaft or stuck in an avalanche or just like really cramped into like a tight spot, you know, buried alive in a coffin. I would be like, I'd be scared into it. I'd be like, whoa, shit. Yeah. Tell me what I need to do so that I can avoid all that stuff.
So the only reason you're going to be a good man is to be because you're scared into it by religion telling you that you're going to go to space prison.
Yeah, is that a fool? Yeah, God.
I mean,
actually, I don't know. That wouldn't be so bad. Waking up and floating through space like in a capsule, I'd be okay with that. I think.
I mean, it's kind of the you got to understand that people 100 years ago couldn't even imagine the idea of
space
of
prison,
the internet or computers right, yeah. Or a lot of things, or walking on the moon necessarily. Maybe they could imagine walking on the moon, but you know, 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, when these religions were founded, you know, certainly they didn't have they didn't even really know what the sun was. They didn't really know very much at all, you know, about the heavens and the earth and the nature of the planet that we live on and the reality, and therefore people's current knowledge forms the boundaries of their imagination.
Yeah.
By which I mean they can only imagine certain so much. You know, we having a great deal of knowledge now about the nature of the universe lets us postulate what possible scenarios there could be that heaven or hell might exist. And it was a lot more, I think, plausible when we didn't understand the things we now understand. I think that get yourself educated. A lot of our audience will be religious and Christian, and because a lot of Americans are, and a lot of British people are, and a lot of people are. It's just a thing, and it usually is a thing.
Do you think they are, though, because they're scared, though? Because, again...
Like... No, I think they are because their parents were.
On the flip side, though, imagine you died and you went to heaven and you thought that heaven was going to be like, holy shit, incredible. And you got there and it was like, just kind of okay. Like, it's not that many naked chicks here. Like, I thought there'd be way more.
I've talked about this a bit before, but like heaven, what do you mean? Your idea of heaven might not align with other people's idea of heaven, right?
Yeah.
So even like in a family, you know, my idea of heaven might be, you know, having my grandparents alive.
But it would have
to
be alternate realities to suit each person, right? Like each person would have to have their own ideal sort of thing, right? Like as a reward for living a good life. Like that's how heaven should work.
Let me just give you this paradox, right? So, you know, I said this to Terz, but imagine I went to heaven and I wanted to, you know, my idea of heaven would be, you know, hanging out with my whole family, my parents, my grandparents, you know, everyone all there. Okay.
But yeah,
my granddad.
Everything is made of mayonnaise.
My granddad doesn't want to be like an old man. He wants to be, you know, a 21-year-old man.
I know, but in his heaven, he would be a 21-year-old hunk. But in your heaven, he would still be your old ass granddad who's kind of stunk, but you love him anyway.
Anyway, and I know people could counter that by saying, well, you can't question heaven like this. You know, who knows what heaven's like? You know, heaven is too complicated. Yeah. It's beyond your imagination.
I don't think it's like a big sort of communal, like, you know, it's made of clouds and there's gates and stuff like that. Like, I don't think it's like that, unless it is. And then you might get there and you might be like, this is some bullshit. Like, I don't want to fucking wear a toga. You know, I don't want to go to meetings about beards or whatever they do up here. Like, I want to do crank with, like, bitches.
Yeah. A lot of people, you just want to do lines of bitches' ass. Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, I know you
right
do.
Out of their
I
asses.
Know you do.
Yeah, that's my idea, heaven.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's heaven, though. I think that's kind of, maybe that is heaven.
Are you allowed to be lusty as hell in heaven? So, like, you know, because they sort of preach to you in this life, like, you know, don't cheat on your wife, don't do this and stuff. But then when you get to heaven, you're like, well, actually, all I've ever wanted to do is snort coke out of a prostitute's ass crack. And like, I know that that's cheating on my wife, but now that I'm here and this heaven,
I've been a good,
can I
I've
do this
done a
stuff?
Good, I've been good my whole life. Can I now do,
can I
these
do this,
sinful things?
These things? I want to have sex with an anime doll now.
You point me to the Bible verse that says it's not okay to have sex with an anime doll or to snort cocaine out of a hooker's asshole.
Well, again, I mean, the Bible's written a long time ago, so I think they tried to write it in such a way where it was like a catch-all, you know? So it's like... You know, they tried to be really, really generic in the teachings.
So that's why some of those commandments, like maybe that's covet thy neighbor's ass.
Don't stick your dick in any hole except for your wife's. I don't know. Like, I don't know exactly
front
what the
hole.
Wording is, but yeah. Make sure it's always in your wife's front hole and nowhere else and stuff like that. And that's a pretty good catch-all because that it immediately eliminates. Like, if you're glory holing, forget it. You're going to hell.
I think that was in Luke, actually, verse 5:14.
Yeah.
Thou shalt insert thy dang.
Verse 69:420. Thou shalt not snort coke off Hitler's boner.
Sips 420 69.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God. So honestly, I genuinely had a real bad journey coming back. And
sounds like it.
It was awful.
Honestly, it sounds pretty bad, but at the same time, I mean, I'm not you went home, right? You went home and you let me guess, you had like a full fucking night's sleep. You're kind of jet lagged, but like still there was nothing really pressing. Nobody's like asking you anything or getting you to do anything. Like you probably just like you woke up in the middle of the night, you're like, I'm a bit jet lagged, and you looked over at your wardrobe and you saw your collection of turtleneck sweaters hanging up. And you're like, ew, you want to know? Can't sleep. Maybe I'll just watch something on Netflix for a bit or whatever. So I don't. Basically, what I'm saying is, I don't feel bad for you. I got two kids. Okay, fucking man up.
I got off the plane.
Stop complaining.
All right, shut up, Sips. Got off the plane. It was like 11 in the morning UK time. Okay, so I've been up since 7 or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, America. So it's been at least. I've been up for about like 24 hours by now. Maybe not 24 hours, but quite a long time.
Uh-huh.
We've put the clocks forward. It's 11 a.m. It's pouring with rain in the UK. It's a shitty day.
Uh-huh.
I get like, it's like 2 hours to get my bag or some bullshit. It just takes ages. We get out. We got a taxi. Wait about half an hour for that. And then get in. And the taxi driver literally talks to me for like the 2 hour drive about the Brexit. In my ear, just like yammering away. Like I obviously made some polite conversation, and then he gave me the old taxi driver opinion on the Brexit.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm now fully brainwashed and fully converted towards the Brexit. I'm like, yeah, let's
leave. Did he have sex with you a couple of times in different ways and sort of say there's like cameras here that we use to like monitor people in the cabs and stuff? Because that's probably on the internet.
He
right
mind
now.
Fucked me. Yeah. Is what he did. On the Brexit. Cool. Then I got out of the car at my flat. I'm going to ignore your suggestion that it wasn't just me in the taxi. There were other people there.
What, Tom Bates too?
Yeah, yeah. He was getting fucked as well.
That sounds messy.
He was just as in bad shape as I was.
Nice.
And then I got home, but there's some stupid like fucking works going on outside my flat all the time.
Hey, so on the topic of that, sorry to interrupt you.
What?
Outside of my dad garage right now, like part of the road collapsed in, like there's a big hole in the road and there's literally like 20 dudes out there like paving it and fucking hammering it and doing shit. Like, can you hear any of this going on in the background?
No.
This is loud as fuck. Holy
it sounds
crap.
Good though.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It.
Like,
maybe people will be able to hear it in the
my
podcast.
Son loves it. Like every day on the way home from school, we just have to stand there for like 3 hours watching these guys. Like, what are they doing now? They're still staring at the fucking hole. Like, they're not doing anything. And he's just, like, so interested in, like, the construction work and stuff. Or, well, the fucking total lack of. I mean, I don't understand how long it takes to fill up a hole. But maybe I'm just one of those typical guys, you know, who's just like, yo, just give me a hammer. I can do it. Pay me 6 wages for that. I could do it in 5 minutes.
I'm extremely suspicious of people who work on these things, right? Yeah. Because these people, it's been going on outside my flat for about 6 months now. And what they do is they start at 8 o'clock in the morning. They turn all their engines on and they actually, sometimes it's like 7:30. So that's pretty early, right?
Yeah.
Since I don't normally get up till like 7:30. And so I'm woken up by like beep, 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 and like fucking like generators going. It's right outside, literally right outside my fucking window. I mean, the worst possible place for it. And they drive this fucking thing back and forth, and they're supposed to be like cleaning the roof, but they sort of don't. They just drive around, they talk shit to each other, they like fuck around, they waste the time, and then they stop about 11 and have like a 4 hour lunch break.
Nice.
And then they start again and do the same old shit from 2 till 5. So I got home about 2. And just in time for their fucking afternoon fuck around session. And it wasn't only that. There was someone on the river near me doing some sort of riveting. And it sounded like a gunshot going off every fucking... like. So I'm there, like, I've been awake for probably like 26, 27 hours.
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
I really want to try and go to sleep. And all I can hear is these assholes outside. So it was just the worst. And then eventually I finally fucking got to sleep about 5 p.m. in the afternoon, and then woke up at like 11 p.m.
Man.
And couldn't sleep. So that was up all night playing Doom.
Jesus.
Anyway.
You are a young Victor Mildrew.
Victor Mildrew. Fucking well said, Sips. Well said.
Oh, man. Holy shit.
Oh, it was just a terrible experience. But do you know what? I was like, do you know what I thought this morning? Because I don't have any food in my flat at all. I sat there in my flat and I thought, do you know what? I'm glad there's a cockroach in my flat to share this experience with me, right? Because there's no food in my flat for this cockroach to eat or me, right?
Oh,
so we share.
Yeah, your cockroach. I forgot about that.
It's probably going to starve to death.
You're like Wally as well, in a way. Remember Wally had like a
but
little
I feel
pet
sad now.
Cockroach?
I feel like I should. It's like my only companion in my flat.
Yeah. Do you have a whole bunch of junk that you've collected?
Like, oh, fuck me.
Sort of stored and put arranged it into like organizational areas.
Like brushed it into piles.
Just have like a ton of light bulbs in one bin and then like just a bunch of computer chips in another one.
I have not, my flat is like sparsely, it's like Breaking Bad, you know, Jesse's apartment where he's just got a mattress on the floor. It's like that.
It's weird, isn't it? Because like when you move to a place, like when I moved into my garage, I was like, oh man, it's gonna be like really nice, gonna have this, that, and the other. And in the end, I totally did it half-assed. It's not finished. And I just sit here in and amongst like piles of junk that I haven't unpacked and stuff. And it can't be good for your mental health, right? Like being like that. Like, are you like that with your apartment too? You just got like a mattress on the floor. You don't even use sheets anymore. Like you can't be bothered. Fucking nothing's unpacked. Just boxes everywhere. All your turtlenecks are in one box. You just like easily get them out of there and stuff. Oh. You don't have anything? Oh, yeah. Wasn't your place like already furnished and it had utensils and stuff too?
Yeah.
Because didn't you tell me that you moved in and there's like a weird wooden spoon or something? But it was like spaghetti sauce like ingrained into it or something?
Yeah. It's like someone's really loved that wooden spoon and they thought, you know, I've used this wooden spoon for like a year. I'm sure the person who moves in after me is going to really love this too. And it's like quite the opposite.
Did your mom ever have a wooden spoon with like, where she drew like an angry face on it and threatened you with it?
Oh my God. What a strange thing to say.
It is related to wooden spoons.
I think I do remember something like that happening. Yeah. I think I do remember that. Have we got the same mother?
Maybe. I think it was like a kind of a common thing in the 80s. Like,
do you do that to your kids?
No, you can't do that nowadays. Jesus Christ.
Why not?
Because like it's not the same as it was in the 80s. In the 80s, like I think you could just about get away with like kind of like spanking your kids and slapping them around a bit and stuff. But society's moved on so much since then. I think if your kid goes to school and he's like, hey, my dad hit me or something, you know, they're like, the cops will come to your house like in 20 minutes.
We didn't say that. Like, you just said draw an angry face on a wooden spoon.
Yeah, but like with the intent of hitting you with it, at least threatening you with it, right?
Really? I didn't read between the lines on that at all.
Well, I'm pretty sure we had that spoon because it was like, oh, angry spoon man's going to come and get you. So you better like listen to what I'm saying. Like, oh, shit, I don't want to be hit with that. So
is it like the naughty step equivalent?
Kind of, yeah.
Like, you know, you get spanked with a spoon with a frowny face drawn on it in Sharpie.
I don't think I ever got spanked with it, but you never know.
Did you ever get spanked at all? Did you ever get hit with a slipper or a belt?
No, I don't think I did, actually. I got threatened to a couple of times, I'm sure, but I don't ever remember actually being like spanked or anything. Did you?
Yeah. I got spanked quite a lot, but I never like actually got like, I never got the long spanking session.
Who spanked you? Well, come on.
My dad.
What? So he's going to like bend you over his knee and spank you? Like how long does it take to spank someone? Like 2 seconds? Like,
what? Well, no, he never like...
did
well,
your
it
dad
wasn't,
actually
like, one
bend
of those...
you over his knee and spank you?
No, he never bend me over his knee, but he did spank me occasionally with like a back of a slip or like just if I'd
such
be naughty.
Such a fucking weird thing, isn't it? Like, what's the point of that? What does it do though? Like, what's the point of...
It taught me to be a disciplined young...
It taught me that my dad was an asshole, basically.
I didn't do it like every day. I didn't get like beaten around with a belt like some Hollywood trope.
No.
It was more like just, you know, I'd obviously done something really fucking stupid like a kid does. Like it's just some twatty thing that I probably deserved it. And he just was like, don't do that. And then he slapped me with a slipper or something. Yeah, it was never like bad, but it hurt, you know.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of punishment.
Yeah.
But back in the day, he would get, you know, proper caned and stuff in school across the knuckles and things, you know. So he was a real kind of old school.
That's pretty old school, yeah. They're not allowed to do that anymore. Like most of them would actually have to do time in jail.
No.
And of course, if you go to jail for doing something like that, like pretty much, I mean, if you get into jail and you've done that, like the Aryan Nation aren't going to let you into their gang. So you're fucked basically. Like you, because you need to ally yourself straight away in jail with like a gang or whatever.
Yeah.
Otherwise your life is just going to be a living hell. Even worse than flying on a plane with babies on
it. Which sort of faction would you align yourself with?
Well, it's very sort of racial in jail, isn't it? So
I see. You haven't got much choice.
Yeah, depending on the color of your skin. But further to that, I think that a lot of the gangs are like, you know, we're not going to let a like pedophile into our gang, and we're not going to let somebody who like canes children at school in our gang, or slaps them with like a meter stick or anything like that. So you have to be,
or a wooden spoon.
I mean, much like worrying about heaven and hell in the afterlife, I mean, what you do on a day-to-day basis, you need to worry about, because if one day you go to prison, that shit's going to catch up with you, right?
Why do you, I mean, I think that a lot of people do go to prison for like the wrong, like not even though they haven't done a thing. So, you know, it's not a 0% chance that you might end up in prison one day. In fact, it's more likely you end up in prison one day than you end up in hell or heaven, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, how do you like that? So why are we worried about heaven and hell?
Well, worry about prison. It's true. You know, you're always just like one paycheck away from going to prison, right? You default on your mortgage.
What does that mean?
You know, I don't know. It's like two catchphrases combined into one, I think. Possibly. I don't know.
It's always a slippery slope until prison.
It's always the road to prison is a long, slippery mudslide with no cushioning at the bottom
it's
to catch
paved
you.
Paved with Hitler's boner. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, the road to prison.
Fuck me.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway.
So,
games.
Jesus
can we talk about video games now?
Yeah, sure.
Well,
sure.
We talked about them before, I guess, but it's like it's very likely that Pyrion is not going to make it to this podcast. So
at this point, it's looking
it's pretty
doubtful,
grim.
Isn't it?
I mean, that control point's probably still not sorted out. If like the guy's outside my house fixing a hole or anything to go by, there's probably five dudes wearing bright neon jackets standing in a hallway in Heathrow, staring at a control checkpoint, hoping it fixes itself.
Yeah,
and they've probably been doing that for like 3 hours. So.
Yeah. And just talking about Brexit.
Talking about Brexit and whatever.
So, games. I played a lot of FTL when I couldn't sleep on my iPad.
Shit.
Which is an old school game. Uh-huh. I played the enhanced edition on iPad. I mean, I played a lot of it on PC like 3 or 4 years ago. And I saw Duncan was playing on his iPad recently, so I downloaded it. And, man, I've really enjoyed playing it again, actually. So, but I'm kind of done. I did like a couple of playthroughs.
Yeah. It's one of those games. Like, you play it a few times.
I unlocked a few ships and I'm done. Yeah. I've moved on from that. What have you done? Give me a game.
Well, I finished playing Stranded Deep, which I was playing for a bit. It was pretty fun. It's like one of these like survival games. And then in between that, I was waiting for Overwatch to come out because the open beta ended. I played it a bit in open beta, and even though I wasn't really like looking forward to it coming out or anything, I wasn't like overly hyped for it or anything. Open beta was a bit different for me because I think the player pool was just bigger. So it was just, the games were just a bit more enjoyable because I was playing mostly against people at my skill level and not just a bunch of fucking TF2 streamers who are, you know, exceptionally good at headshotting you in all sorts of weird and wacky ways and shit like that. You know, the kind of shit that makes you rage quit a game. So I kind of enjoyed the tail end of the Overwatch open beta, and I was looking forward to it releasing because I thought I'll play it a bit, you know, because it's a new Blizzard game or whatever. So in between, I played a bit of Prison Architect to pass the time, played a bit of Stellaris to pass the time. I played fucking War Thunder. Have you heard, did I tell you about War Thunder?
Oh my God. Yeah, I've seen it like on Steam
a
lot.
It's like a free-to-play like tank and plane simulator game, but it's... You can play it, there's like an arcade mode, which is like very fun and fast and stuff, and you get like lots of extra lives. And then there's like a realistic mode, and then there's another mode beyond realistic mode. So realistic mode, like when you run out of ammo in your plane, you actually have to turn around and go and land and like restock and stuff. Like, so the battles are a little bit longer. And then there's like this ultra realistic mode where it's like even worse than that. It's fun though. Like it's nice looking for a free game.
Is it all multiplayer battles?
Yeah, it's all multiplayer. It's like online.
Yeah.
You can like make a squadron and, you know, do these tank battles or plane battles. And now they have like combined arms. So like occasionally when you're in a tank battle, you can hop into a plane, just like shoot some stuff or whatever. It's kind of cool. It's all right for a free game. It's okay. It's like tremendously grindy. They got like all the usual shit in a free game, premium currency that you can buy and speed things up. It's free to play, but it's not pay to win from what I can tell. Like there's nothing that really gives you an edge that you can pay for. Most of the stuff that you pay for is just to speed up you researching or unlocking different planes, but I don't think anything is so overpowered against anything else that it matters, kind of thing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun for like a day or two, and then Overwatch came out. I've just been playing that.
Overwatch is out and good. I saw Battleborn or whatever that released. That's not really done very well. It's a pretty similar game. They reduced it to the same price, didn't they, on the Overwatch release day, $40.
Yeah, I think they tried to get it out just before Overwatch to sort of see if they could convert people over, but Blizzard's just too much of a beast, aren't they? They're just too big.
I'm gonna have to have a look at it. I did play a bunch of Total War Warhammer. I think that it suffers towards the end of the campaign end game, you know, much like Stellaris does, where it kind of doesn't really have a very the victory conditions are not very good, right?
No, but Stellaris is one of those. It's a because it's Paradox, and it's, you know, there'll be DLC that comes out that'll just make the game.
It's true.
In 3 years, Stellaris will be fucking fantastic.
Stellaris is going to be fixed a lot. And I think Total Warhammer will get its updates too. But I think that both games need more victory conditions, because both of them, the great thing about Civ 5 is that you sometimes end the game in a good place, right? Where you can click just one more turn, but no one does, right? So you can keep playing Civ 5 after you've hit a victory condition if you want to, just one more turn thing, but it kind of leaves you wanting more. It ends you in a good place, right? Where I think Stellaris and Total War have a big amount of mopping up to do, like to finish them off. And a lot of the times I don't want to do that. Like for me, in my head, it gets to a point where I think, okay, this is now just a grind, and I don't want to grind, so I'm not going to bother finishing this game. And I kind of end up with a little bit of a feeling of dissatisfaction sometimes when I finish those games.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm not as keen on that as I used to be. Me and Duncan are playing Factorio on stream again. We're using the mods.
Oh, the ones you told me about. Yeah, yeah.
Man, we died in like an hour because the aliens are a lot harder. They invade a lot harder, and we just got overrun.
Shit.
So we started again, and we're a lot more protective. So when me and you played Factorio, we barely had any problems with the aliens at all, did we?
No, because we were playing on like they attack you if you attack them sort of thing. Like we didn't have it on. They were like passive or whatever. So
I didn't realize.
The whole alien thing is garbage anyway. Like fucking,
it is pretty garbage.
Like you just want to make a factory. You don't want to be worrying about. It's kind of like in Minecraft. Like you just want to build stuff. You don't really want to worry about a creeper coming up and just wrecking your shit every 5 seconds. Like it's not really the point of it, sort of thing.
Yeah,
like it's cool that there's creepers and stuff in dungeons or whatever, but you know, if you're going down there to
it
do
adds
that,
a different spin on things.
It does.
And when you're playing multiplayer, it allows you to kind of have something else to do though as well.
Yeah,
which is nice because it means that someone can spend time defending or attacking bugs. Like you were mostly attacking bugs when we played anyway.
Near the end, yeah, it was. But it's just because we needed to free up some space, I guess.
We needed to collect all the little artifacts and stuff too.
Oh yeah, and we needed their jizz to make new stuff.
Man, I enjoyed Factorio a lot. I think it was a really satisfying game.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Well, that's all I've been playing really though. But Doom, oh, it's great.
Yeah,
really
I'm
good.
Gonna play that. I enjoyed playing it with Simon. Like I played it. We did the Steam streaming thing, so I could like hot seat with him while he was playing it. And even just playing it, it was like kind of pixelated, a bit laggy for me to play. But it was cool, man. Like I liked it. It's really satisfying doing those finishing moves on the aliens, like ripping their heads off and stuff. It was pretty cool.
God, there is a game that came out on Steam. It's on the top sellers called YouTuber's Life. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, yeah. Are you going to get it?
Oh, it looks fucking garbage.
Yeah, you're going to play the shit out of it.
I heard that Duncan and Kim were playing it the other day, so there might be some videos out with them.
What about Seduce Me 2, The Demon War? That's out on Steam now as well.
Man, we just like troll these terrible games.
Age of Cavemen, which uses all of the same sort of like art as Clash of Clans, which is a new thing now, isn't it? Mobile gaming has basically just become, how do we make our game look like Clash of Clans to dupe people into buying our game?
That's right.
Thinking that they're getting Clash of Clans, yeah.
Well, what you do is you make a game called Civ 6 that looks a lot like
Clash of Clans.
Controversial. It does, doesn't it? That's the
man.
That's what people say.
Well, it's kind of like the way that things are going, I guess.
You told me about this OpenTTD called Simutrans on Steam, which looks like...
You thought it was something to do with transgendered people, but it's actually nothing to do with
them. Well, I've been looking at YouTuber's Life, so I assumed that it was a gender-changing simulator or something like that.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't know what it was when you told me. But Simutrans is transportation sim, of course, where you make a train that's transporting like prosthetic dinguses.
Dangers, and yeah.
Balls.
And balls. And
to people.
Some vagines. Some vajayjays.
That's right. And just, you know, loading up on those, transporting them where they need to go. Just generally helping people out. Great. Well,
Airport Madness 3D is also out, which I think by the looks of it, this looks like, you know, that game that you had on your iPad where it was like you had to direct the planes in and show them which route to take to land on the runway.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first like iOS games, and everybody thought that like iPhones and iPads were amazing because of this game where you could like be an air traffic controller. Well, this game looks like it's that, but it's like in 3D. So you sit in the tower and you have to tell like Roger Pedactor 3219-2A to hold the flight pattern while some other dangus lands and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that could be fun. I mean, I'm not saying it's gonna blow my mind or anything, but you know, a couple hours.
It's not gonna change the world, is it?
It's not gonna change the world.
So right, I think we've reached the point in the podcast where we've kind of run out of stuff to say.
Have we?
Yeah. We didn't even do questions or anything.
I mean, to be fair, though, we didn't realize that we were going to be doing this. We sort of just like off the cuff said, wouldn't it be funny if we started doing it and then Pyrian just turned up and he hasn't turned up.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously like waylaid or whatever. So now.
But that's cool because we could check with him next time about the poker.
So now we've done one. We've done the whole thing without him.
It's a relief.
He might be pissed off about it.
He might be, but we'll find out. Give me let's do the questions and then we'll
I don't
head
have
out.
Any. I didn't ask any. Do you want me to ask some right now? It's like,
yeah.
Okay. Do you have any questions for
people,
the Triforce?
Because we're not recording it. Oh yeah, we are recording it on the right day.
Podcast.
I guess people didn't know whether
... question mark. There we go.
Wow.
Okay, I'm waiting for them to flood in. We'll just do them as they come in, okay? All right, it's taking a little while. I think everybody's just like waking up. You know, Twitter's just gone off on their phones and they're like, fuck, oh, I was asleep. Why is my phone beeping? What does this asshole want from me now? A couple of people are retweeting that now. Few people are favoriting that tweet. It's probably up there with some of the best. We have one from Jordi Zandhuis, and he wants to know, what is our opinion on stroopwafels?
They're good when you balance them on a... I like how you can balance them on a cup of tea.
Yeah.
A mug of tea.
I
like that.
They're like one of those things... To me, they're one of those things where you're kind of hungry, you're looking for something sweet, you're rummaging through your cupboards, and there's nothing. And then you just come across a pack of stroopwafels and you're like, yeah, that'll do. And you eat them, the whole pack, because you're kind of hungry.
Okay, next.
We got one from Nathan here. Why are you so sexy?
What a difficult question to answer.
Maybe. I don't know.
Is it the fact that you work out and just generally look after your body? You eat like a high protein. Or is it steroid injections?
I boxer size as well, so that goes a long way. Toning and just generally making me appear more of a hunk.
Rub the oil in.
Yeah, oil rubbing.
And
yeah, lots of boner sizes too. The wet towel, pump your boner, lift the wet towel, just make your dick like better. Harder and faster. Anyway.
See, this is what happens when the questions come in, but we don't have any time to filter them.
Well, we don't really filter them much anyway. Next question is, I still don't know. This is from Epic Harbinger. Did I pronounce that right? Harbinger?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Harbinger.
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 Yeah.
Anyway, he says, I still don't know where and when to watch the podcast. Can we get a link and time? Go fuck yourself.
Well, what does that mean? Maybe he just doesn't know. Next.
I'm just joking. Don't do that. They're flooding in now. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming in.
Oh, good. I'm excited. Let's go. Let's go
it's
through
it. It's taking
quick.
A while. We'll go through a few, okay? This is from Beyond Top Secret. What are you wearing, Lewis? And is it sexy? Also, Sips, please stop with dad jokes. I cry every time. and he's used the face with tears of joy emoticon. Or is it an emoji now? I don't even know.
I have, do you want the full rundown? I have some Vans on my feet.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some.
Whoa, are those new? Because, like, you used to have a pair of, like, cross trainers, I guess.
I've got some ankle socks, some Vans ankle socks as well. And then I've got a pair of very tight shorts on. Like super tight, like so tight that you can see the outline of my
micro penis,
dick and balls.
Okay,
my very small outline.
It looks like somebody's put like a one single paracetamol tablet into the front of my neck.
And that's just smooth otherwise. It's like I'm wearing a box.
It's like he's got a vajay, but. Except for that one little
paracetamol. Yeah. And then I'm not actually wearing the shirt. I just painted on.
Sweet.
On chocolate body paint.
Yeah, actually, I'm wearing an apron that has ladies' breasts painted on it because I'm about to do some barbecuing.
I have a bald, completely shaved, bald head.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, me too.
Like tribal, like blue paint, like lightning bolts on it.
Like Braveheart.
Yeah. Sweet. Only like cross between that and Harry Potter. And I'm wearing Harry Potter glasses.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, if you're up for doing some fan art of that, we would gladly look at that fan art. So. There's that. Anyway, this one is from Epic Noah. These questions are really good this morning, actually. Who's your daddy and what does he do? My dad's retired. I think Lewis is his too.
My dad is also a retired accountant, yes.
Cool.
You've met my dad, if you watched any of the streams.
No, I haven't met him. I'm too scared to now. I make fun of him quite a bit, actually.
He's nice. You'd like my dad.
And if he listens to any of this stuff, he'll be like, maybe he'll spank me when he sees me.
Maybe he will.
That'd be crazy. I'd like
only
that.
If you ask nicely.
Really nicely. Really sexy. Ask him real sexy and he'll spank you for sure.
Yeah.
Paul asks, why are you so inconsistent on new content for the weekly podcast? Well, there's a good reason for that. We go away sometimes and we can't record it. And we have like a set day and time where we record it because we're all grown-ups with like stuff to do.
Yeah.
If we can't make it to that, then we don't reschedule it and we miss a week. So
what a boring answer and question. Next.
So that was that one. Kath Ryan.
Do you have to do like a massive every time you look? Can't you just like...
Well, no, I'm sort of like kind of going through them a bit. Like some of them are just like...
Oh, I see. You're scanning them, right? You're not just doing them.
Well, I'm not even scanning them. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking at Twitter avatars to see which ones are the most interesting. And then I read those ones. Because some of them are pretty dumb. Like there's a picture here of a guy. It's not even a guy. It's like a pink bunny rabbit that looks like it's like done in MS Paint, which has caught my eye. Mike Grimm. And the question is, China?
Oh.
Yeah.
China.
So there you go.
Great question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, last one. Oh, this is a good one. Chimple Sticks. This is at the top of my notifications. Chimple Sticks asks, what's everyone's favorite Seinfeld episode?
Oh.
It's a good one. It's a really good one. Yeah, you know what? You know what my favorite episode is, I think? I think my favorite episode is the one where Kramer and Jerry swap apartments because the Kenny Rogers chicken that's moved in. Kramer gets addicted to the chicken. Kramer starts going nuts because he's like made a deal where he can get free chicken. And they can put the sign up and it's like that red glow coming into his room and he can't sleep and everything. And Jerry had... They do a swap. Jerry becomes more like Kramer because he's like living in Kramer's house and stuff. And I think that's my favorite one. So much fucking shit happens in that one too. It's
crazy. Think I think my favorite's got to be the one where Kramer buys the hot tub and falls asleep in it.
Is that the one where he's like washing lettuce and stuff like in the shower? Or is that different? You remember the one where Kramer has a talk show in his apartment?
Yes.
That was fucking
also,
amazing.
Wasn't there an episode where Kramer, he had to swap clothes with someone in a shop somewhere? And, oh my God. Anyway, the hot tub one is where he falls asleep in his hot tub and his core temperature drops because the power goes out. And so he like is freezing to death. And then, I don't know, he... It's just mental. It's a really weird episode.
I love that. His core temperature drops.
Oh, God. Fucking Seinfeld is so good.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it makes me want to go back and watch it. If we lived in North America, did you watch any TV while you were in LA? Because, like, they show Seinfeld literally, like, 700 times a day on American TV.
I didn't turn it on, but if you turn on American TV at any time, it's just this crazy stuff on. Yeah, it's weird.
Oh,
it's
the
weird.
Commercials are always the same. It's always for, like, something to do with diabetes. Like, every commercial's like, hey, you know how you have to do, like, a pinprick on yourself multiple times a day to test, to see what your diabetes levels are? Why not get a custom pinprick thing with your name engraved in it? It's all this like weird shit around people having diabetes. Like, I don't get it. Like, every commercial's like that.
Oh God, it is really weird. But the first things to happen was we were in the car from the airport going to America, and there was like just listening to, you know, talk radio or whatever, and there was an advert for some sort of medicine. And after the advert, it was like, this medicine will maybe make your dick fall off and also for you to get AIDS. And it was like really, really, really long. Kind of like,
yeah, and it's always like really bad.
All the side effects. Yeah, yeah.
Side effects of this one might mean that you might want to kill somebody. You might also get AIDS. You might also have a big donger coming out of your anus. I don't know. Like, it's like all this like crazy shit.
Your dad might accidentally fuck your ass one day. I don't know.
It's like, you may find yourself really weird. You may find yourself with a beautiful house and a beautiful wife, and also bent over your dad's knee while he's spanking you.
That's right. That's exactly what it's like. And you're like, what did he just say? But you never really like, yeah, you never really quite catch it.
Yeah,
it's really funny.
It's pretty funny.
All right, with that, we'll leave for this week. Thank you for listening to the Travels Podcast. We'll be back next time with PFLAX, hopefully.
Yeah.
See you then. Peace and love.
Bye.